Ready? So today is Monday, February 13th, 2023. I'm pleased to be able to call the meeting to order. We're advised by our esteemed staff that we have a quorum and we'll proceed. If there's anyone out there in Zoom land who'd like to speak, you're welcome to do that now. Is there anyone within the sound of our voices that would like to communicate with us?
Could we do a quick round of introductions?
Well, we could. Scott Bartlett.
Dave Calderwood.
Sasha Elliott.
Isabel Merritt.
Nathan. Byrne. Okay.
Nathan Mitchell.
Okay.
And then we have a few virtual attendees
as
well.
You introduce them?
Yep. Okay.
Bernadette.
Okay. And who else?
Linda Kornheim.
Okay. Well, we have a quorum.
And I'm Tasha Williams-Antoine.
Who's that?
That's Tasha. Yeah. What? No, Tasha Williams. She was the previous.
The person we voted on last.
Is she? She's a member now?
Yep.
About to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so hearing no comments per se from the public, are there any recommendations for changes or additions to the agenda? I would like to suggest that we move item 5 to item 4.
Sure. I didn't have too much on that note, so that's totally fine.
We move Green Hill up. Is that okay?
I don't mean.
Okay. Hearing no objection, then are there any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none. Would the committee like to acknowledge the audio minutes? Is there a synopsis of this in the packet as well?
Of the minutes?
Yeah.
No, it's
okay.
Yeah.
But that's okay. The minutes per se are the recording?
That's right.
Okay. Is there any objection to acknowledging minutes that we may or may not have seen or read?
Nope.
Okay. Hearing none. New and continuing business. That's number 4. So Sasha, this should be a fairly long 10-minute discussion, I would imagine, or maybe longer. But apparently, from what we've been hearing rumblings of, there are impending, someone said draconian, other people said devastating, proposed city budget committee or city of Eugene cuts to the existing skeletal animal services budget and personnel they already have. Are we incorrect in summarizing that?
I agree with those statements. I can tell you what limited knowledge I have. We've been informed that as of July 1st, the start of the new fiscal year, there will be a reduction in Eugene animal welfare officers, taking the team down to 2 people from 3. The officer who was told that her job no longer exists as of July 1st was specifically told that they were removing the position. She was not being laid off. She was not put on temporary leave. The position was dissolving. So that's a third of their field force. A new request for proposal was also made public as of Friday. And the description of the type of services that the city is looking for in regards to animal welfare is drastically different than the services that have been provided with Green Hill's relationship with the city since 2012. Specifically, I think important to note for Lane County residents is that this particular request for proposal states that animals delivered to the public sheltering and adoption facility by City of Eugene citizens are not part of the scope of services for this RFP, which, barring any other information, leads me to believe that there is not a plan for animals found by Good Samaritans within the City of Eugene.
That's amazing. So if an animal is suffering or scared or lost and there's no microchip or whatever, and someone finds her or him just in the course of, you know, being in Eugene, they would no longer have a recourse of bringing that animal to Green Hill per the City of Eugene's contract?
As the request for proposal states now, members of the public caring for lost, stray, abandoned, injured animals is not part of the services that they're looking to contract for.
And did this RFP come from city government?
Correct.
So this hasn't actually been blessed yet by the budget committee or the city council, per se?
That I don't know.
Has the city put out its proposed budget yet? Do they, like in Congress, they have a Biden just put out a budget and then they fight about it?
I don't think they have in detail. I believe there was a discussion that was available for members of the public on March 4th that talked about, I think, some goals or some overviews of the city, some programs that they wanted to expand, and also the acknowledgement of a shortfall. But I don't believe they've specifically publicly called out the removal of resources for animal services in the City of Eugene.
There's some animals, there's some programs that they want to enlarge, correct?
Correct.
What's going on?
We're getting a little bit of feedback.
Okay. David, do you have any questions?
So they're enlarging some programs and reducing others, and they're reducing the animals. What are they enlarging? So they're taking away from animals to enlarge something else. What are they enlarging?
I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can mute this.
Who is this?
I think that's Bernadette.
Just turn it down.
Okay. Yeah, I just muted it. Let's see.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah. I think that should do it.
That's a lot of power there. Don't mute me.
Is now exiting.
Okay.
She's not what?
No, it's just a notification. She's in. Yeah.
Okay, we want to keep going on this.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can hear us, correct?
I can hear you.
Good. So we're talking about a super concerning potential drastic.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see. So Bernadette, I'm going to mute you because we're getting a little bit of feedback.
Put the mic back or something.
Okay.
Okay, anyway. So were you at the March 4th meeting?
I was not.
Was any Greenhill people there?
Carrie Lieberman, our executive director, was.
Okay. And what would the approximate, if this was carried out, what would be the approximate reduction in the city's current contract figure if they were to slice 33 1/3% of their personnel and disallow you to be paid to handle abandoned, injured, lost or stray animals?
So looking at the number of animals brought in last year, the total number of public animals within the City of Eugene was 783. So that potentially leaves 783 animals uncared for, potentially causing public safety issues. And the total officer intake was 386. So if we take 1/3 of that out, That's about 130 animals.
That would not be brought to the facility.
That may not have access to be brought anywhere safe. Now, so that's near 1,000 animals.
Would there be an officer intake into Green Hill under this RFP?
I cannot state publicly at this point if we are going to submit for the RFP.
Right.
So in other words, if Isabel picks up a dog in Eugene, she has no place to take it.
Isabel, as a officer with Lane County, will always have a place to take her animals. We value a strong relationship with Lane County Animal Services.
For sure.
Okay.
We don't pick up within the city limits. Once we get a call and we understand that it's in the city limits, we refer to Eugene or Springfield ACOs.
So you refer the call to Eugene?
Mm-hmm.
But if they say nobody's there to talk to you.
Well, they have two officers for the city of Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they can't bring animals to Green Hill.
Yeah, what do they do with them when they pick them up?
Right now they take them to Green Hill, I believe.
Right now, yeah, right.
No, wait.
You don't personally go into Eugene to do it. You refer it to an officer.
I call Eugene Animal Control or Springfield Animal Control and let them handle it from there because it's not my jurisdiction.
Well, what do they do?
I'd assume the same thing.
Take him to McDonald's and say, have a nice day?
No, that's not answered. We don't know that.
Well,
there's got to be an answer. I'm sure they have an answer.
Wait, let's get this clear. Under this RFP, which Green Hill would not find it feasible to accept or apply for, members of the public who find stray, injured, or lost abandoned animals would not be allowed to bring their animals to Green Hill, or the city wouldn't pay for the handling and reception of these animals. How's that?
So a few things to note. There may be information that the city has that has not been made public. If they have a plan for Good Samaritans to have support, should they find a stray, injured, abandoned animal. According to this RFP, they do not have a plan and are not specifically excluding City of Eugene citizens from being able to bring a lost, stray, abandoned animal anywhere. But I think it should be clear, they may have a plan that they just have not made public yet. I'm not privy to that information.
If
the reason that we, as Green Hill, enjoy contracts with Lane County Animal Services, Springfield Animal Services, the City of Bonita, the City of Cottage Grove, etc., is because we have been given the responsibility to act as an agent upon their behalf. So we are able to hold an animal for a stray animal for 72 hours if there's no identification whatsoever, 120 hours if there's any form of identification like a microchip, a collar, a harness, a coat, a rope tied around their neck as a leash, in an effort to reunite them with their people. Barring that agreement, where a private organization is asked to act on behalf of or as an extension of a legal agency, then property laws come into play. It would elongate that necessary holding period from 120 hours or 5 days all the way up to 45 or 90 days, depending on the jurisdiction. That is unfathomable for the number of animals that we care for each year, the thousands of animals that we care for each year. So I think we're reviewing this contract or this request for proposal very carefully to see if the The needs that the city is looking for aligns with what we as a private organization are able to fulfill.
Have the City of Eugene representatives of the division that has jurisdiction over their animal services skeletal crew, have they been in conversation with Green Hill in advance in terms of discussing what their ideas are?
The chief of police oversees the animal welfare program in the City of Eugene. Animal welfare is an extension of the Eugene Police Department. And we have been in conversation with multiple members of EPD regarding the services that we provide, the responsibility for safety, public safety, animal welfare safety to the citizens of Eugene.
And you've been in touch with them vis-a-vis the possible non-renewal of this contract and the possible removal of a significant number of services and personnel?
Well, the request came out on Friday, so our team has been working diligently over the last couple of days to review it. We have not made any formal statement as to our position, whether or not we will or will not submit a proposal.
Now, do any other members have questions?
So what are they expecting you to do with these animals after 5 days?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, right.
So if you only get to hold an animal for 5 days, what are you supposed to do with it if somebody doesn't claim it in 5 days? Are you supposed to kick it loose or kill it? What are you supposed to do?
The current agreement supports that 5 day or 120 hour hold period. After that, the animal becomes the property of our organization. At that point, we can perform medical services, including alleviating pain and suffering if there's a medical injury or a dental work that needs to be done. We can spay and neuter at that time. We can make them available to adopt. We can transfer them to another organization. Or in the rare cases in which they are not considered an adoption or transfer candidate because of extreme behavioral or medical challenges, we would have the right to humanely euthanize.
You don't euthanize many animals, do you?
No, not at all.
You're basically a safe, adoptable and treatable animal.
Absolutely.
Per the county. Do you know what the approximate value of the lost revenue from their initial proposed RFP approximately would be? And what is the price of the contract right now?
The current contract, I believe, is around $480,000 annually.
Right.
I believe the new contract is just under $208,000 per year.
Would you say that again?
208, rounded up. $208,000 per year.
I'm astounded. So that's more than a 50% reduction.
It is.
And that $208,000 comes from the city?
Correct.
Now, will citizens of Eugene who find a lost or strayed animal be able personally to come to Green Hill?
I don't know at this time. We value being a partner within the community and a safe haven for animals in need. However, if we do not hold a relationship with the city of Eugene and are forced to follow the property laws, which are generally in place for inanimate objects, that would significantly impact the number of animals that we would be able to help. And we are currently reviewing to see if that is financially possible for us.
Property laws, how do they explain that?
So if you lost your wallet and I found your wallet, I could not just keep your wallet and say, well, I found it, so this is mine.
Go to Reno.
There are public posting requirements. You have to make notice publicly that I found your wallet. In the case of animals, they individuals have to contact Greenhill, either phone, email, or online, submit a found report, the description of the animal, the location it was found, a photo. That information is posted on our website for 90 days, so that even in cases in which a lost animal is not brought directly to the shelter, there is an opportunity for an owner who is missing their companion to be reunited with the pet outside of the shelter.
So is that Oregon law?
That is Oregon law. So there has to be a public posting of found property. Animals are considered property in Oregon. And there has to be a length of time in which that property is taken care of but not altered. So from a veterinary perspective, there's a limitation in terms of what sort of medical care you can provide, we can provide for an animal who may have an owner out there before ownership is either reunited with that initial owner or is transferred to our organization.
Currently now, after 5 days, 120 hours, whatever, an unidentified, abandoned, strayed animal that the city brings to you or people bring to you, after that time has elapsed, currently, per this contract, you do have the authority to authorize absolutely necessary veterinarian care?
Correct. It's the same agreement that we have with Lane County, the same agreement we have with Springfield, and a variety of other jurisdictions we hold contracts with.
Now, did anyone at the city tell you why they're making a 60% slashing cut in their proposed budget?
No,
not they're not making 60% cuts in other programs, are they?
I'm not sure.
What else? I mean, this has shocked your organization, hasn't it? To a certain extent.
I think it's disheartening, and I think the progress that has been made for animals and the people who are connected to animals within our community, City of Eugene, Springfield, Lane County, has progressed leaps and bounds over the last 10 years. And this feels like a tremendous step backwards.
When you say leaps and bounds, in a nutshell, what has improved per se?
Well, I think the ability for 7-day-a-week access for officers. Officers enjoy 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, access to a safe sheltering facility should they find any animal in crisis within all of Lane County. At basically any species except horses and very large cows, we can handle. And the officers have access, not only the animal welfare officers, but sheriff's deputies, cahoots, a variety of people that are first responders out in the community assisting people who may be in crisis, and the animals that are associated with those people.
And Greenhill is a ready and predictable reception or homing partner to any of those situations in a variety of governments. So the city of Eugene would remove themselves from the, what would the city of Eugene get for their $208,000? What are they paying for? Do you know?
I do not know. They have called out some priorities in the request for proposal.
Which are?
I would love to share the website in which this document lives with the entire team so that anybody on this committee may review it in detail and bring further questions to me via email, either in between now and the next meeting or at the next meeting. A few of their priorities have called out intake, officer intake, and that includes dogs and cats, and then a variety of other species. It includes intake involving court holds and sheltering, so I'm assuming this includes bite quarantines, animals that may be involved in cases of suspected abuse or neglect. And then they have initiated a trap neuter return program within this RFP to be able to spay and neuter community cats.
Who is to do that? Green Hill?
It's whoever is accepted, whoever applies to this proposal, and whose proposal is accepted.
Now, does Green Hill currently provide TNR?
We do.
To the city of Eugene?
We do.
So they'd have officer intake of dogs, cats, and miscellaneous other species.
Mm-hmm.
Those two officers per your contract would be authorized to bring them to Green Hill? Yes, they would. But if Joe Blow or Jane Doe found Spot or Tabby and went up to your place, the city would have no involvement in that.
As far as I can tell from this request for proposal, the city is instructing that there is no safety net for citizens of Eugene who find animals.
In the past, when a citizen didn't involve animal control and a citizen in Eugene took an animal to Green Hill, what happened? Did Green Hill take them in?
How much past are we talking about? We've held a contract with jurisdictions since 2012.
On the current contract?
Yep.
Last year.
Yep.
Green Hill takes them in?
Correct.
Did Green Hill charge the citizen for taking the animal in?
No.
That was covered under the Eugene contract?
Correct.
So you would, now do you charge per animal or do you have a flat contract? I mean, for these kind of things? I mean, you know, if an animal need, you know, food and sundry other things, do you do a individual charge and put that in your contract, or is it a blanket contract that includes categories?
The contract is an annual fee. And part of the reason that that is important is because we don't have a cap on the number of animals that either the public or officers may bring in, nor do we have a specific day or time. There's access to the facility 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and there are always animals at the shelter being cared for, and there's an increasing number of disasters to respond to that add to the work that we do every day. And so it's not feasible to financially run a business model that charges per breakfast, per dinner, per animal. It's really the structure and the stability of the organization and the relationships that we have within our communities that make this work so well.
Are there ever any incidents in Eugene, either of a natural disaster or natural emergency situation, fire, whatever, or disease or whatever, where people really need to come to Green Hill with their found animals and have you care for them. You know what I'm saying? If there was something like the fire up in Mackenzie, but if it was here and people really, you know, rushed to save animals and the only place they were familiar with is Green Hill and they were coming, you probably would take them on a humane level. But in terms of this contract, you're on your own. Right?
I'm not sure how to answer that. Again, the RFP has just been posted. We have not made a public determination whether or not we are going to submit a proposal to renew the contract going forward. But I think I get what you're asking. And yes, barring a relationship between a government organization tasked with public safety and community health, the responsibility lies on private nonprofits.
You know, the interesting thing, since we've been involved since what?
2003.
When was this?
That was your task force.
Task force. So that's a long time, 20 years.
Yeah.
And at that time, when the county and the city were partnering, and you know, I'm partial to that in a way. But accept reality and the changing, you know, and appreciate Green Hill. But I believe that contract was close to $900,000. And I believe that it also included licensure. And I believe that LCAS had 3 to 5 people procuring and servicing the license and relicensing and renewals. And there were like 5 field officers, I believe.
Elkara.
Yes. And we had veterinarians. Oh, and there was a tremendous amount of pro bono assistance by the veterinarian community. And Mike Wellington said, I believe it's the case, that, and certainly Green Hill probably is, you know, far more than that, but LCAS as a public, or Elkara, was getting approximately $100,000 a year of donations. And food, et cetera, et cetera. So when the city was partially motivated by money reduction, thinking that that services would be held harmless, that the people who would be doing the work would not be of union scale, and therefore some of the line people would not have all those benefit packages. So the bean counters at the city thought, okay, hey, this is a good deal. So, not satisfied with that, now a new crew of these bean counters want to slash it by some 50 to 60%. That's outrageous.
And I assume they think that if a person, Eugene, takes an animal to Green Hill, they're not going to be turned away. And so why should Eugene have to pay to have Green Hill take it? They assume Green Hill's going to step up. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. It probably depends on your board. On taking the animal or having to charge for the animal or whatever. But Eugene probably figures, why should we pay it? They're going to take the animal anyhow.
Well, but she's saying that may not work.
I know it might not. But I imagine that's what's going on. It's the bean counters.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's important to note in terms of Lane County Animal Services, it would be interesting for them to review the RFP. I know that they've worked together in the past. I know that the entities have since separated, but I wonder if there is an opportunity for at least a review of what the city is currently proposing, and if there's any opportunity to, improve what I fear is a step very far backwards in terms of both public health, community safety, and certainly the way that we care for companion animals within this community. The other thing that I think it's important to note is that barring the opportunity or the option for citizens to bring stray animals anywhere, potentially starting July 1st, that may increase the workload that Lane County officers would incur. So I think that that's important to consider as well moving forward.
Good suggestion that the county needs to look into it.
Have they had three officers for quite a while?
I believe they've had three positions for a while, although there has been some movement within those positions. But I believe they've had three officers for about the last year.
Now, one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that one of the progressive movements within public animal care programs have been to de-policize, de-law and order size animal services.
That started with the name change from Elcara to Elcast.
Okay, but
that was part of it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is nationally, some of the cutting edge and the leading public animal services programs have tried to get rid of the symbols of police authority.
Because
it used to be that Elcara had, I don't know if it was a quota, but they, we heard hanging out by Amazon and busting dogs off leash, et cetera, et cetera. And that was put an end to. But in terms of a step backwards, when the city of Eugene somehow decided that the police department out of Country Club Road was the logical custodian of that service, a lot of people thought that was a step backward, as opposed to human services or some other,
Well, the licensing was a step backward too when they hired the group in Texas.
Okay. I think we want this on our agenda for the next month, but something has to give in the meantime. I wonder if this committee, our committee, should write a letter to the Board of Commissioners sounding the alarm. I mean, Eugene is part of Lane County. It's the county seat. And the preponderance of animals reside on balance there. Do you think that... Does the committee find any merit in the idea of our just briefly communicating with the Board of Commissioners that this is a crisis in the making, potentially?
If it creates a crisis for Greenhill, which it sounds like it's going to, because Greenhill has expenses they have to cover too, and they're looking at cuts, yes, it could create a crisis. It could create a crisis for the county if something happens to Greenhill.
Very good.
I agree with you there. If you remove funds from Greenhill and then the county has to step in and try and make up for what the city is not doing, I just can't see that the county's going to be in any better position to help.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, I always feel uneasy when the demarcation between unincorporated animals and Eugene animals, that's made. And there's been an effort to delineate that and be careful about it. But, animals don't know zip codes. But you're right. So what would some of the points in the letter? Let's communicate. You want to create the letter now? Do any of you other members have ideas as to a brief letter and what we should point out to the Board of Commissioners? Would you like me to improvise?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you come up with something, Scott, and then we can all look at it and give input.
Well, that's the case.
Would that work?
Except time is of the essence.
You can email us. Is that legal?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can do that.
So we could do a round robin. Anyone could propose suggestions for a letter.
We're public meetings.
Okay.
The public has to be able to be involved. Are we allowed to communicate with each other on a letter and send it out without the public knowing it? We're having input.
It's arguable either way.
It's time sensitive. That's the issue.
I think we've got another 25 minutes, and I think we can come up with a brief one paragraph thing. And but let's move on the agenda and come back to that before we do. I think we could write something. You know, dear Board of Commissioners, we want to call your attention to an impending crisis of animal services within the metropolitan and Lane County area. It's come to our attention. Maybe you could transcribe.
Sounds like you've already got it.
It's come to our attention that there's a possibility, as horrible as it sounds, that Green Hill will be unable to accommodate the city of Eugene in view of Eugene's 50 to 60% proposed slashing of animal services, including, but not limited to, disallowing citizens of Eugene from transporting found, lost, strayed, or abandoned animals to Green Hill per the City of Eugene contract.
Sounds like you've already got it written.
Okay. So we'll get something done before we leave, but we won't belabor it, okay? But I think that would be a good thing, because, and we could put out a press release too, actually.
Sure.
And
yes, has this been in the press yet? This possible budget cut?
Again, the request for proposal just came out on Friday at end of day, and we've spent the last 3 days
analyzing it
and working to determine if this is a relationship that we want to continue or not.
Wow.
And did this emanate from the managerial staff at the Eugene Police Department?
I would think that the chief of police has officers who manage each of the programs that fall under their responsibility, and would assume that he has had conversations regarding the severity of the cuts.
And do you assume that they're aware that some 400 animals have been intaken by officers, and that some, what do you say, 700 and...
783
brought to Green Hill by citizens?
They receive monthly reports the same way Lane County Animal Services does, that detail our intakes, our outcomes, total animals in care. And so yes, I am certain that they have knowledge in terms of how many animals are brought in by officers, how many animals are brought in by members of the public, and what the services that are provided, how many animals they cover.
Now, let me ask one question. Worst case scenario, if Green Hill was unable to continue a relationship with Eugene because of this impossible reduction and dropping of services, given this 5-day and 120-hour, is that property minimal requirement or standard or whatever, is it conceivable that a great number of animals that would no longer be covered by this Eugene Green Hill contract to receive a lost animals, that they could be more subjected to euthanasia, theoretically?
Well, it depends on where they go.
I agree with David. It depends on where they go. It depends on if the city has a plan for Good Samaritans who find animals that may not be included in this RFP. If there is one, I'm not aware of it. It depends on if there are other organizations outside of the city of Eugene. I know the RFP is accepting proposals from organizations within a 70-mile radius. So there may be other organizations that are interested in submitting a proposal. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Some time ago, there was an organization called CARE. I don't remember what it was called, but that's why Eugene eventually left. Because CARE brought it to the city manager's attention that possibly CARE could take over El Cara at the time and save money.
And that began.
And it's possible that maybe those organizations have reared their heads and convinced somebody in the city of Eugene that they can take the animals. There is that possibility.
That's a good point, and it's probably...
That is a possibility. I haven't heard anything. Possibly, you know, I used to monitor some of their Facebook pages. They don't have Facebook anymore. There are apparently other places.
Well, it's...
But that could be a possibility. I don't know.
Sure.
It won't work.
Okay.
I don't think they're capable of doing
it. It's bad faith. And, of course, you know, the budget committee is one thing, but the city council is the ultimate decider of the budget, just like the county board of commissioners. And so those of us who know some city councilors in Eugene...
I don't.
Well,
you do.
Some, yeah. So this is... You know, this is new.
It might not come to pass. Hopefully it doesn't come to pass.
Well, all right. Moving forward, Lane County Animal Services activity. Remember to get back to the letter here before we adjourn.
So I didn't really have much to report. You'll notice in your packets, and then we do have Isabel, our animal welfare officer, here today as well. So just in case there's any contributions, but I do want to just bring your attention to... Real quickly, in the packet, Stacy Manning, our other senior welfare officer, there were a few questions that were posed and some requests for documentation, so she was able to get some stuff compiled. So that's the first thing I'll mention is the list of unincorporated communities within Lane County. So this is a very comprehensive list. You'll notice that there's 80 communities listed. And on the back side, you'll see that there are 91 total cities within Lane County. There's also some detail in terms of the size of Lane County and population. So just to give you an idea of the amount of coverage that Lane County currently covers, you know, that's highlighted in that list there. The next document, unless there's any questions, because we can definitely talk about that. So you'll find that list at the very back of your packet. There's a few extra documents. So that one right? Yeah, on your left. Yeah.
And you made a listing also of all the veterinary... Mm-hmm. practices in mm-hmm. Wayne County?
Correct, yes. And so you also see on that list that you're speaking of with the veterinary offices, there's a list that'll show you which ones are licensed vendors or currently set up to sell licenses, and then which ones require rabies reports as well.
C-12.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention, Stacy let me know that recently Westmoreland Animal Hospital has decided to drop out of being a licensed vendor. So they are set to no longer, I don't know what the timeline is on that, but they will no longer.
What, Westmoreland said they didn't want to sell county licenses?
Correct, yeah.
Did they give a reason? Staffing or something?
It's a lot of work, extra work for them, and they see a lot of city residents from what I understand. So,
do they handle city licenses?
I do not know if they do city or not.
Now, who did they tell this to? You?
No, Stacy Manning did all the compilation and investigation on that. So they may have informed
So her. Westmoreland said we're no longer going to sell licenses?
Correct. Yeah.
I think there's a staffing issue all across the nation.
Yeah.
There is.
Not just in veterinary communities. There was a recent piece on Full Measure about veterinarians, higher suicide rates, so on and so forth, people having trouble getting an appointment, timely appointment for a sick animal across the nation, sometimes a couple months out. And it's due to fewer veterinarians, it's due to COVID, it's due to more people having pets over COVID.
I'm fine.
It's also due to people being abusive to the veterinarians themselves and the staff.
Yeah.
Over shortages, over not getting an appointment and so forth, over increased costs. The increased costs is part of what I've been railing against for a long time, which is the animal rights organizations increasing costs through legislations on purpose so that fewer people own pets.
Well, that's
part of the agenda. There are issues, and that's probably what's going on with Westmoreland, and staffing issues. They don't always have the pick of the cream of the crop for their girls out front and so forth.
How much do they get?
Part of the issue.
How much do we recompense them?
I believe it's $2.
$2?
$1.50,
right,
I believe.
Right, that's been an issue for quite a long time. We've advocated increasing that, and it hasn't been done by the county.
Yeah, like we've talked about it.
This committee has wanted to increase those fees for quite a long time, and the county will not do it.
And Multnomah County does, well, first they give a free license for 3 months, then they have the potential licensee in the,
I think some of that has been instituted, but I don't remember exactly what.
But if it's a new license, a brand new license from one of their patients, we could do an incentive of 50% for the first year, and then something a little better than $2 for any week.
It certainly should be better than $2.
Yeah. Okay. Any other aspects of anything you're discovering?
The only other thing I'll bring your attention to is just so on this trifold document there. So there was a question about different communities incorporated cities within Lane County and what their kind of animal ordinances and policies were.
Wow.
Great information.
Yes. So,
that was great.
Yeah. So,
did you do this?
No, that was Stacy as well. So she did all the legwork on this.
Well, this is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, it is.
Yes.
This is excellent.
Absolutely.
And then, but that's, so definitely some great reading material. Very thankful for Stacy to put that together. Isabel, did you have anything that you wanted to share? Any updates or anything?
Not really. Busy season's kicking off. We're getting more calls every day. Really starting to get out there and deal with the public a lot as warmer weather comes. That's about it.
Good for you. An open discussion. By the way, are there any fur farms in Lane County? Any operations that
I haven't heard of any
grow that raise animals for
what brings up that question?
That I'm aware of. Are you thinking like minks, vole?
Mink or whatever, mm-hmm. Rabbit. Any? I saw something in the Oregonian the other day, and there was a statewide discussion, and they mentioned fur. Mm-hmm. Fur, that there may be some fur raising operations. Mink, chinchilla.
It might be in the state. I don't think there's any in the county.
There's any.
Because there ought to be a law against that.
That's part of the animal rights agenda.
Well, I don't.
I have all kinds of documentation on it.
Well, it could be, but we don't need to be killing animals for. I got a
fur.
I have a faux.
How about for leather? Same thing. How about silk? How about drinking milk? It's all interrelated.
Well, that's a political area. I know what you're saying.
Well, then it shouldn't be brought up.
Well, humane love for fellow sentient beings who are needlessly raised to be slaughtered for coats. That's
you
not.
You eat meat?
Huh?
You eat steak?
No, I don't, actually.
I've been out to lunch with you, and you've eaten meat each time.
No. I doubt that. I eat turkey, though. I do eat turkey.
Well, that's meat. fish.
Did you see the thing in the news the other day of this guy in Maine? Did you see that, the license plate? He says he's a vegan and a vegetarian, and it's true. And the license said, let's see, love tofu. Well, that was, he was ordered to get a new license plate because that was deemed to be suggestive pornographic. L-U-V-T-O-F-U.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And the guy, he finally gave up. He said, okay, you know, but he said, I'm a vegan. I just like tofu. All right.
Okay, so, open discussion, Saskatoon.
Yes.
I was supposed to find out information on their license compliant rate. I was not able to do that. I was able to communicate with someone there.
Where?
Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, in Canada. They were going to introduce some of Bill Bruce's methods to bring license compliance up some time ago. And the girl I communicated with has only been there since mid-21, and she didn't know anything about it. She did give me the number of licenses they sold last year and the year before, and I know the population of Saskatoon, but that's as far as I've gotten so far. I don't know if these licenses, 27,000 in a year, were one-year licenses, two-year licenses, I have no idea. I don't have that information. If they're one-year licenses, the population of Saskatoon is 273,000. It's approximately 10%. I imagine their compliance is higher than that. So I've got to find out more information. But I have been working on it.
Thank you. Are our license, Lake County's license numbers increasing?
Yes, I'd say so, based on my observation.
Yeah. Okay. How would we like to frame this letter? Do you think it'd be? Why don't we do?
You
why don't we have
it?
Why don't we circulate?
It sounded good to me. You can get it from the
right.
from the recording.
Yeah. Go ahead.
With all due respect, Green Hill deeply appreciates the support of this committee. But because this information is so new to our organization, I am asking that any letter crafted specifically reference information found in the RFP, reduction of services, reduction of funding, reduction of officers. But I think it might be to everyone's benefit not to specifically mention a private nonprofit organization. While we enjoy the relationship and appreciate the contracts that we hold, I do think that this letter might carry more weight from this community if you specifically focus on the concerns of the lack of support for animal welfare in general in the city of Eugene. And
as reflected in the proposal.
As reflected in the proposal, and leave an independent contractor or a private nonprofit out of it.
Can you send us a copy of the RFP?
Sure, I can find that.
You can?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. We're drawing nine, is it? Is there any other discussion?
I think that's good advice. Be careful.
Yes. Are there any other comments from any other members?
That sounds good to me.
And so what we're going to do is we could circulate and or send any suggested language for a short letter from this committee to Nathan. Mm-hmm. And
how about including Sasha?
Oh, of course, but we're observing a certain
right. But I think arms she needs
length.
To be part of it. Because,
yep.
Because
yeah. Oh, of course, but not in terms of reference in any letter, right? She doesn't feel comfortable with that for good reason. So, then we can arrive at we can have a draft of one letter after we've had input from the committee, and then. we can settle on just some language without reinventing the wheel.
Sure.
And
general language.
Well, why don't we author? Let's authorize. Does someone want to make a motion that we do send a generic letter, not referring to private non-profit organizations per se, but that we have found in the RFP and will be given the language by staff will send it to us, that it's come to our attention and that some of the things we've heard include slashing from...
Do we really need a motion?
Well, I think we should make a motion that we're going to submit a letter and that staff will ultimately, having received our drafts, make a final draft, give it to us, and if there's no objection,
so as,
send
as,
it.
As perhaps a suggestion, just throwing out a suggestion, Sasha did a fantastic job at providing an overview of the RFP and its impact, but perhaps maybe with the next meeting, maybe we could go into more depth. I can distribute a copy of the RFP to all the committee attendees, and then we can maybe highlight specific points. That would probably help with your letter as well.
Well, that's another month. When's the deadline for the RFP?
April 12th.
Yeah, so a month isn't going to work. Would any of you or any of us be willing to just draft a one-paragraph letter?
I think you should draft it. You're the one who has the language.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion that...
I'll make a motion that we draft.
That I draft it and then...
You draft a letter.
And once it's deemed acceptable by the committee, that Nathan would then, in our name, submit it to the board?
I suppose yes. I can do that.
I'll second it.
Okay, second the emotion. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Motion's agreed to. Laid upon the table. And I think we are going to be, God willing, meeting on when?
April 10th.
April. Our next meeting will be, isn't it?
Should be right on the April 10th. Yeah. To be right on your first
April
page.
10th, 2023 at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And be safe, and we look forward to getting this letter out and reviewing the RFP, and we'll see you next month. Meeting's adjourned.